Hello, everybody. My name is Jamie Berry. I'm Executive Chairman of Bordier in the UK. I'm being joined today by Tom Cairns, who's an Investment Director here, and Dipesh Mazuria, who is Head of our Fund Research. All three of us sit on the Investment Committee at Bordier in London. And today we're going to have, I hope, an orderly debate, unlike some of the debates that have been underway in the last week or so, about the US election and its impact on, in particular, the US market. First thing I want to ask, does it really matter who wins as long as markets have clarity? Tom, what do you think?
It can matter, but recent political events have taught us that politics has less of an influence than we might initially think. However, it does, of course, depend on what the result is. We certainly have a view what might happen in either scenario, but it's impossible for us to predict what may happen. All I know is that the world keeps turning. Sun still rises in the east and sets in the west. There'll just be a different party controlling things. So it can have an influence, but often has less of an influence than we think it might.
Dipesh, how do you see things?
I broadly agree with Tom in that sense, that the economy will keep driving forward irrespective of who wins the election. But there are some considerations here as well, because it's not just about who wins the presidential election, but who also has control over the Senate and the House of Representatives, because that will then determine how much policy change they can push forward, which will impact various companies within the US stock markets. And to mind, what springs up is a lot of the media techs. You've already heard Trump say that there should be more regulation of Twitter and of Facebook, and that could change the valuation of these businesses.
Is it fair to say that the market is probably a bit more relaxed now about Biden than it was a few months ago? I mean, he's been painted as the big bad bogeyman by Trump of businesses and anti-business, but that seems to be less the case now. Is that true, do you think?
I think it probably is, and it's all down to COVID-19. I think everyone knows that the Democrats have got an agenda of perhaps fiscal sort of tightening and increasing taxes, certainly reversing the corporation tax that Trump put through in 2017. So that was the big fear. But I think at the moment, with both the Democrats and Republicans debating on what the stimulus package might be, I think everyone understands that whoever gets elected has to implement some kind of stimulus package to enable the US economy to get through this. That debate is still rumbling in America. And you've probably seen conversations and tweets from Trump, firstly going one direction, then the other.
And I think it's fair to say that, you know, of all the Democratic presidential candidates, Biden was probably the most middle of the road. And that's why he got nominated to run for the Democrats, because he will unify in that sense. And his vice president, potential elect Kamala Harris, is also a very kind of pragmatic person who would be willing to kind of balance what's good for the US economy versus Democratic policy.
Certainly better than if Elizabeth Warren was the presidential candidate.
Yes, I'm sure. It seems to me that there's a possibility that whoever ends up in the White House could be a sort of generally quite benign influence on markets, because I think if Trump wins a second term, it'll probably be seen as more of the same, some bits of which are pretty extraordinary, but the status quo would be maintained. On the other hand, if we do see Biden in the White House, it's quite likely that he'll be constrained by a Republican Senate. Dipesh, as you've sort of alluded to, he'll probably make a better job of being less hardline on trade. His immigration policies are a bit more relaxed. As I mentioned a moment ago, he's probably not as anti-business as people think. So even if he's there, the outlook both ways for the market might actually turn out to be all right. But do you think that's how markets have reacted so far to that outcome?
I would say that actually markets have been quite sanguine about it, to be honest with you. It's much more currently, and maybe this is because of the issues we're finding concerning COVID-19, but it's much more about the stimulus package that the Fed is giving, its guidance on inflation, and those things are also having a larger impact than possibly what the outcome of the US election is in the short term anyway. Certainly for the next year, I think people will understand that whoever wins the election will be driven to maintain and stimulate the US economy first and foremost before driving through any policy.
Yeah, I mean, most of the debate, Jamie, revolves around the stimulus package. So Trump tweeted that he was going to withdraw from the discussions with the Democrats. And then he reversed that by saying, actually, no, he's going to implement stimulus before the election. What they need to decide on is the amount of stimulus. And that's where the big debate is. The second part of it is, how are they going to pay for it? And that's probably the more worrying part if there is a Democratic controlled Congress.
I suppose that the worst case scenario might be Trump losing, but refusing to go, because it seems to me that's the type of uncertainty that would upset not just the stock market in America, but probably the currency as well. Any thoughts on that?
I think with Trump, a lot of it is rhetoric and bluster. And when it actually comes to it, he's going to be, he's very conscious of his self-image. And I doubt he's going to do something so reckless. It would have to be a very, very fine margin for him to not do that, and to actually get support from the rest of the Republican Party, because they've already come out and said there will be an orderly transition. I just think with a lot of things that Trump says, you've got to separate the rhetoric from the actual reality of what he can and cannot do.
Yeah, unfortunately, Dipesh, the one predictable thing about President Trump is his unpredictability. So we can't really, it's very difficult to guess what might happen if he loses and doesn't recognize the vote, especially the postal vote.
Well, I think it's clear that he's already setting the ground to say that, there's postal votal fraud, and even though there's no evidence of it, and if he loses by a slim margin, then that's his go-to argument, is that there's voter fraud and it needs to go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and ultimately, if it goes to the Supreme Court, then there are many more Republican appointed judges to that court than Democratic, so they probably hold more sway.
Can I switch tack a little bit and get a bit more detail about the market? Obviously, the US has had a very much better and stronger recovery than anywhere, particularly the UK, where the gap between the two markets is sort of unprecedented, really, I think. And a lot of this we know has been driven by technology stocks, and we know that digitalization has been something that was probably expected to take place over 4 or 5 years has actually been compressed into 4 or 5 months. Are these tech giants unstoppable? Are they going to continue to power the steam train of the US bull market?
At the risk of possibly getting too granular, I would suggest that there's a big difference between technology innovation and then commercialization. And the US is very good at commercializing technology innovation. And therefore, you could easily see companies like Apple, Google, buying up some of those smaller companies. Less than 6 months ago, who'd ever heard of Zoom? And now it's analogous for video conferencing. But
in everybody's living rooms, Dipesh.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll move on. Tom, what do you think on that about the sort of tech bonanza?
It's a crass comment, but tech is here to stay. And I think what this lockdown has proved is that we do need to look to new ways of working and living. And therefore, these companies are at the forefront of that, and they'll continue to be at the forefront of it because they have the financial clout to go around buying those companies that Dipesh mentioned. But that there is a risk here still. The House of Representatives have just issued a report on antitrust issues in America, stating that Amazon, Apple, and Google basically have monopolistic powers in the US. And if they had their way, they'd break them up.
I wonder also, though, if they get clobbered for very substantially higher tax bills, whether that upsets the ratings apple cart for them.
Absolutely. So, there are risks here. There's a combination of regulatory risk. There's a tax risk if a Democratic-led Congress were able to put up corporation tax. So there certainly are some risks there. But at the same time, I think some of these large tech companies, they have been proved to be the winners over the last 6 months. And I think there's every possibility they will continue to be the winners.
The I mean, the US market has been a very strong investment call for us at Bordier, and we've had a very significant commitment to the US for quite a long time now. Are we happy that there's no danger of giving a lot of that back? Have we moved the deck chairs around a little bit in terms of our exposure in the United States?
I would say that you've got to understand the US market, and it is relatively closed as an entity. So what stimulus is applied to the US market will grow the US market, and it is able to decouple itself from the rest of the world. So in a long answer to your short question, are we in danger of giving some of it back? Possibly not. And this is where it's important to kind of look under the bonnet a bit as well and see what the drivers of the US economy have been. And, you know, the acronym of FANG stocks or FAMAG, as they are now being called, these have been the key drivers. If you separate those out from the wider US stock market, then there's a lot of potential still left in there. And that's really where active management comes to the fore. It's kind of picking up these companies which haven't rallied as hard as those well-known stocks.
Yeah, the great thing for us and for our clients is, Tapesh, I think I'm right in saying that we definitely have a foot in both camps. I mean, growth stocks have certainly led the market up over the last handful of months, and the value stocks have been left behind. But the managers that we've been using have exposure to both parts of the market. One of your colleagues did an excellent bit of research looking at our positioning in healthcare and technology in America, and found that while we were both overweight in technology and healthcare relative to the market, we were slightly underweight those FAMAG stocks that you just mentioned. So we do have a foot in both camps, so that if the election result is not what we expect, I still think we have the ability to benefit.
Well, certainly if you look at the companies, the funds we hold and where they've generated their performance year to date, and how they've managed to, in many cases, beat the S&P 500, it's across the portfolio. It's not driven by one or two key companies, which is what makes the difference, I think, between active management and something where you're passively just kind of having to perpetually buy those big names over and over again.
I think for as long as I can remember, it's been a mistake to underestimate the United States. And I think we're probably still in that sort of environment, really, whoever ends up in the White House. I've just got one last question for both of you. Who do you think will win?
I sincerely hope and think that Joe Biden will win.
Tapesh?
I believe that Joe Biden will win. And I also believe that the Democrats will control both houses.
That's quite a call, because then the spending taps are going to be turned on really full pelt in a way that we haven't seen. They're going to make the sort of Roosevelt's new order or new deal, as he called it, after the Second World War, look like a walk in the park, I think.
I would totally agree with you if we were in a normal world. But as everyone keeps saying, we're in a new normal right now. And everyone will be keeping an eye on the economy, an eye on COVID-19, and an eye on how much stimulus the Fed is willing to pump in. And that will drive markets way more over the next couple of years than who the president of the United States is.
Jamie, I think I'm right. In fact, I'm sure I'm right, because you've reminded us on many occasions. You're one of the few people to tell us that Trump was going to be elected back in 2016. Where do you stand? Who do you think's
going to win? I remember saying probably the best part of 18 months before he was even got the nomination that he might be the next president of the United States, and everybody laughed me out of the building. I think just as one shouldn't underestimate the United States, I think that probably, and I think we realize this, that whatever everybody's personal opinions about Donald Trump might be, one probably underestimates him again at your peril. So just for contrast's sake, I would not be at all surprised to see him remain in the White House. And particularly if he recovers from COVID-19 in the next few days, he will be presenting himself as the strong man, able to withstand things like this. So if I had to have, if I was a betting man, and I'm not, on the US election, and I think the odds would be very poor, but I actually think he'll remain president. Well, Tom, Tapesh, thank you very much for your time. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this Bordier broadcast. Please ensure that you read the accompanying risk warnings shown with this podcast on our website.